Go thy way, as you have believed, so be it done to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's Gospel, we have this episode of this centurion who comes to our Lord asking for a cure for his servant. We should note that this centurion is a pagan. He's not a Jew. But he comes asking for this cure. And our Lord tells him that he will come and cure this man. I will come and cure him. And so our Lord is therefore willing to go in person to cure this man. But this centurion protests, saying, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. It's where we have the prayer right before communion, that we protest our own unworthiness. And the idea is the same in both this episode of the Gospel and in the Mass. We are not worthy to receive our Lord, but yet all he has to do is to will our cleansing from sin. And this Gospel uses specifically the word that our Lord marvels at the faith of this centurion, again, a pagan. But he believes that our Lord not only wants to do this, but he can do it. It's not that he has a wish that cannot be fulfilled. I wish I could help you, but in fact I cannot. No, he wants to and he can cure this sick man. And we should note that the centurion does not require that our Lord come in person to do the job. He doesn't demand to see the proof that this servant will be cured. He tells our Lord instead, I too am a man subject to authority, and I have soldiers subject to me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to a third, do this, and he does it. And our Lord marvels at the faith that is shown, and that the centurion does not require this proof. But what our Lord does require from the centurion, and that he demonstrates, is his faith. And we should reflect on our own situations, how we tend to be of an opposite disposition of this centurion. When we are told to go, our response is to say, why? Or when we are said to come, we are told to come, we want to know where. Or we are told to do something, and we ask, do I have to? How many instances, we stop and think about them, how many instances in our daily life do we receive such notices, such prompts from God in his providence, and that we perhaps consequently reject? We seek, perhaps ever so subtly, a proof that this is from God. We want to have him tell it to us personally, almost. There are so many instances, therefore, of our Lord soliciting, seeking our faith in him, in his divinity, in his love, in his mercy, and we reject them. And we have another instance in the same Gospel at the beginning of the man who is a leper, who simply tells our Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Not, if you will, the doctor will do it for you. But if you simply will, I can be cleansed, I can be healed. And our Lord touches him and says, I will it. Be thou cleansed. And then he's told, go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that is commanded by the law of Moses, which is true. The law that was given by God to Moses prescribed that when leprosy had truly been cleansed from someone, they had to go and have the priest offer a sacrifice as something of a testimony that this in fact had occurred. The priest, in effect, was something like the clerk of court. But that is not the focal point. It is rather this man, this leper, comes with the same disposition of the centurion. If you wish to do this, I believe that it can be done. I believe that you can do it. And elsewhere, throughout the Gospels, so many times with the apostles, the ones who were closest to our Lord, how many times he has to reproach them, saying, asking, where is thy faith? We're familiar with the episode of St. Peter. He tells our Lord when they're in the storm and they're in the boat and our Lord is walking to them, towards them, on the water, Lord, if it is you, bid me come unto thee. And he tells him, come. And St. Peter gets out of the boat and begins walking on the water towards our Lord. But he begins to sink, and our Lord has to save him. Why did you doubt? He asks St. Peter. Again, a reproach to ourselves. Why do we doubt this or that instance being a prompting of God's providence for us, that God is trying to speak to us in this or that instance? We have the other episode of the father who has a son who is possessed by the devil. And the father is, so to speak, at the end of his rope. He doesn't know what else to do. He's exhausted all other possibilities. But yet he goes to our Lord and he asks for the deliverance of his son. And our Lord tells him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith is the first virtue that our Lord claims from those who approach him. That is something of the condition, we may say. And it's the same for us today as when he walked on earth. It is the same virtue that he requires of us. And we easily enough concede the incredible works of God, the stupendous works of God. We think of the 10 plagues on the Egyptians in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, the feeding of the 5,000. But what about the quiet instances, the quiet works? What about the case of a soul that is hardened in their sin? Or a sinner who's been away from the sacraments for 50 years or more. Or a soul that is totally indisposed to the rule of our Lord's law. Despite whatever claims they may make about themselves, they are completely indisposed to have our Lord rule over them. We tend to look at those and say, there's nothing that can be done. It's beyond help. Nothing can be done to remedy this. It is a leprosy that cannot be cured. It is an illness that cannot be alleviated. It is a death that cannot be changed into life. And yet, our Lord, in reproaching the Jews at another point in the Gospel, said to them, God is able, of these stones, to raise up children to Abraham. So why, then, would he be incapable to convert the hardest of hearts, to convert our own hearts even? If he can change physical stones into worshippers of God, why can he not convert the hardest of hearts? It's certainly not because he is incapable of himself. But where is our faith in his ability to do that? Yet another time of our Lord's reproach. Do you believe that I can do this for you? So where is our faith, we must ask ourselves? Is it one that is dry and cold and lifeless like the stone? Or is it lively? Is it free? Is it flowing? Moved by charity, which is, we may say, the blood of the soul. No blood, no life. No charity, no life. If it is the former, dry and cold and dead like the stone, then go to the one we call the Virgo Fidelis, the Virgin Most Faithful. Beg her assistance, beg her aid, which she is so disposed to give at the slightest indication that we desire it. Ask her help to believe with all faith that her Son, God, has the power to show you and any and all souls that he is God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.